This morning, I'd just like to start off by thanking the elders for the opportunity to stand before you all this morning. The subject of the lesson this morning is pride. Pride is probably one of the most common struggles that a person can face. I've heard it said that if you don't think there's anything that you struggle with, then that's your issue, pride. This morning, we will look at what pride is, how it can influence your life, some examples of pride, and what the Bible says about it. And finally, how to overcome pride. So to get into the lesson, what exactly is pride? There are essentially two forms of pride. There's pride in achievement and others, or anything outside of yourself, which is commonly defined as a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction, while pride in yourself is more often defined as conceit and vanity. While pride in others, if excessive, can be an issue, I'll be focusing on pride in oneself. Pride, as we've defined it for this sermon, is in direct contrast with the humility and modesty that we are commanded to conduct ourselves with as Christians. For those who do struggle with pride, it can be a very defining trait. Over the course of human existence, pride has been something we've struggled with. And time again, we see those who let it rule their lives and more importantly, we see the situations they get into. Just look at the movie, the Disney movie, The Emperor's New Groove, a movie quite literally about the fall and redemption of a selfish and prideful man who turns into a llama. Now, to my knowledge, pride will not get you turned into a llama, but it can lead to plenty of awful situations. When a person lets themselves get wrapped up in pride, they can develop a kind of tunnel vision. When a person is prideful, they become very self-centered. They can find a way for everything to be about them, whether it's good or bad. It causes an inability to see anything greater than yourself or even outside of yourself. When a person struggles with pride, it can be very hard to notice, even for the person dealing with it. This is because not all symptoms of pride are obvious. A person can appear to be one of the kindest people that you've met and still be incredibly prideful. This is because pride doesn't always affect the actions themselves, but will also affect the reasoning behind your actions. A prideful person will often care about what makes them feel good, not what is right. A person who is prideful may on the surface seem just as kind and charitable as a person who isn't until you get down to their reasoning. A humble person would act based on the desire to help others and follow God's commandments, where a person acting on pride would act because it makes them feel good. Though doing good should make you feel good and should bring you pleasure, that should be secondary. If you live chasing pleasure, it will lead you away from God. A concept that I often see in pagan mythology, like the Greeks and the Romans, most people who are ruled by pride will humanize God. They will see God as they'll see God or gods as flawed and human, and assume that they understand what they're commanded when they look at commands, even if that's in direct contradiction to scripture or whatever it is they believe they're commanded. A common trope that I've seen in media involves angels and God typically make angels incredibly jealous of humans, even though Hebrews 2 verse 7 states that when Jesus was born to Mary, he was made lower than the angels. Don't get me started on how God is often characterized as a flawed absentee father. If those aren't examples of pride, I don't know what is. The Greeks and the Romans often had stories where their gods would come down and commit horrible acts to people because their gods were prideful and they were humanistic. More symptoms of pride include an inability to see your own failures while you focus on the faults in others. These are often coupled with extreme judgment and a partiality to cruelty. Pride can also lead one to be superficial and materialistic. While the immediate symptoms of pride can be dealt with if caught, pride can have more long-lasting effects. While at any point in a person's life, a person can change and devote themselves to God, they can't undo the situations they've wound up in, and that pride will put you in, and pride will put you in some of the worst situations that you can imagine. When a person makes a decision based on pride, they end up in a very precarious situation. Maybe they've alienated themselves to those around them, or maybe they've done irreparable things to others. You can't unmake a decision, you can't undo your mistakes, and you can't unsay your words. While everyone may struggle with saying or doing things that they regret, it's an important part of growing as a person and as a Christian. Or an important part of growing as a person and a Christian is realizing when you fail and learning from your mistakes. You learn from your mistakes and improve, and in doing so, become better. A person blinded by pride won't be able to see their own failures to improve on them. Pride is the cause of most false doctrine that exists today. If a person was guided through humility and submission to God, as we are commanded to do, then the root cause of most false doctrine, the belief that I know better than God or anyone else, would be non-existent. A person's pride can also drive others away from Christ. While it can discourage a well-founded Christian, a fellow brother or sister's pride and the other ways it affects them greatly affect their ability to spread the gospel to those who haven't decided to follow God. Growing up outside of the church, most of the people that I've met who have issues accepting God's word cite a traumatic experience with some prideful or hypocritical person who drove them from the church and turned them off to truth entirely. Now, while those people are responsible for their own decisions and may be lacking in a thirst for truth, it doesn't help anyone when someone ruled by pride practically tells them that they don't belong anywhere. Pride is something that is ancient. So ancient, in fact, that I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis. That'll be Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. While we know that the sin of Adam and Eve was disobeying the direct commandment of God, it should be noted that when Eve was being convinced to eat the fruit, Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6 says, "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Here the serpent convinces Eve by appealing to her pride, saying, "If you eat the fruit, you'll be like God," and using the argument that God doesn't want them to be like him. The argument of putting God on the same level as humans is the most prideful thing that I have ever seen. Just as they should have remembered that as God's children, they weren't and shouldn't be equals to God, we should remember our place. God knows what's best for us, and should be our goal. It should be our goal to please and follow him. One of my favorite hymns is Servant Song, because any time that I struggle with keeping God's will above my own or any other form of pride, I keep that song in mind. In the next chapter of Genesis, Genesis 4, we're presented with the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both present sacrifices to God, while Abel's is respected, Cain's is rejected. Instead of trying to please God and do his will, Cain gets very angry and decides to murder his brother out of pride and jealousy. Cain's sacrifice to God wasn't to please God, which is evident in his actions, following God's displeasure. Cain's example is that we should serve God with the purpose of pleasing him, always making sure that God's will is what we are doing, not our own. If we only follow God's will when we agree with it, we aren't doing his will at all. Pride can easily be found at the source of most sin and false doctrine. This is because sin is a violation of God's word, and to violate God's word to any degree requires at least some sense of pride, whether that be being willing to take the chance of being wrong, or honestly believing that you should be an exception or know better than what you are commanded. A prideful life is incompatible with Christianity, a concept that the Bible addresses. A quick search revealed 55 separate statements telling Christians to humble themselves before God. Please turn to Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs has two of the best statements on pride, in my opinion. 13:10 tells us that by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Whereas Proverbs 16:18 tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're clearly warned that pride is very dangerous. Unlike some of the more poetic language used in parts of the Bible, we are clearly and bluntly warned of the dangers of pride. Pride is also something that I think is very common, is a very common thing to struggle with, just partially because it isn't easy to avoid. Most sin can be avoided situationally and is far more external, while pride is internal and something that you have to face regardless of where you are. So how then can one fight against pride? There are a few simple steps to overcoming pride, and while the steps themselves may be simple, they can be quite demanding. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 29. The first step to ridding oneself of pride is to understand that God, to understand what God is. God is our all-powerful Creator who is absolutely perfect, and He has absolute authority over us. For anyone struggling with pride, this has to be where you start. You must accept that something is far greater than yourself, and that something knows better than you do. Isaiah 29:16 states, "Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding?" Once you have accepted your position in relation to God, humility is far easier to come by. God is perfection and infinite, and once that is accepted, pride can be a bit harder to come by. Afterwards, you must accept the will of God and make it your own. At any time God's will and your will aren't one and the same, you must default to God's will. As a Christian, while pride can still be something you struggle with, it's much easier because becoming a Christian requires acknowledging something greater than yourself. And if you haven't, I cannot stress the importance of becoming a Christian. If you don't understand the gravity of salvation, then please talk with someone here today. There are plenty of people here who are more than willing to study with you, myself included. And if you do understand salvation and have yet to be baptized into the body of Christ, then why wait? What is holding you back? Finally, if there are any here who would like to bring something before the congregation and request our prayers, please come forward now as we stand and sing.